Okay, welcome back now. So let's talk about the constitutional role of the office of the deputy governor. I mean, in recent times, we've seen what's happening in Edo State and Ondo State. In the case of Ondo State, it's like a man who's been divorced before, remarried, and then there's an issue with the second marriage, and you're like, what's happening? Oh my God. Okay, so just to get into the conversation proper. All right, so I already told you that following the rift between the governors and deputies of Edo and Ondo states, the question about the way to tackle the disagreements between those who occupy these offices, the governor and the deputy, has come up. Now, it's actually obvious that the roles of a deputy governor are mostly dependent on the governor's absence from the state at any point in time. For instance, assuming office in the governor's absence, presiding over the state executive council meetings, of course, when the governor is not available, right? Succession to the governorship in the event of maybe the governor's death or severe ill health, and so many others. Now, some other roles that the deputy governor performs is participation in the executive council, of course, as a member of the cabinet, assisting the governor, or any other roles that the governor assigns him. So then, I'm asking, a deputy is a deputy. The word is more like to assist, deputize. That is essentially what it means. But let's just look at the word from a dictionary. So, the dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, puts it this way. A deputy is a person who is appointed to undertake the duties of a superior in the superior's absence. So, deputy. But then, the question I'm asking is, where is that question? Yeah. Does the office of the deputy governor require specific roles? I mean, apart from the fact that you are deputizing, is there a need for some specific kind of roles? Well, joining me for this conversation is a legal practitioner, Allen Wakamba. You're welcome to the show. Oh, and that happened. All right, I'm going to have to reconnect and then we'll go ahead. So let me go back and find the news story where Mr. Allen Wakamba actually called for an amendment of the Constitution to include specific roles, or more like more roles for the deputy governor, the way he puts it. All right, I'm going to find that story. But then you can join the conversation, head on to Facebook right now and talk to me. Is there a need for it? Specific roles for the office of the deputy governor? If somebody's an assistant, right, there are things they're expected to do. But hey, in this case, it's not just assisting. So the first role is more like you do the job of Oga when Oga is not available. Do we need to add something else? Do we need to say, okay, you have to do this, you have to do that? Well, the vice president has that constitutionally. There is a constitutional role for the office of the vice president. Do we need the same thing for the office of the deputy governor? And the second question I'm also asking is, when we look at the selection process for a deputy governor, we know how it runs, how it works, all right? There are things that the political parties actually look out for before someone is selected to be a running mate to a governor. They are looking at the parts, they're looking at perhaps your region, like within the same area. It's just like, okay, here in River State, if you are getting a deputy governor from the River Rhine, the deputy governor should not also come from that area. So there's all of that calculation they are doing. Okay, so should we change that particular, you know, way of selecting a deputy governor? More like a rejig of the way we select who should deputize the governor. All right, so Mr. Allen Wakamba is back online. Welcome to the show. Hello, Mr.
Good
Allen.
Constance. Yes, I can hear you. Good afternoon, listener. Good afternoon, Constance.
All right. Good afternoon to you once again.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Hello. Yeah, my name is Dr. Kennedy Allen.
Oh.
In-law.
Okay. I missed all of that, actually.
No, it's okay. No problem.
All right.
I just wanted to correct you because you were calling me.
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for the correction.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so back to the question. Did you hear the question I asked you?
Well, I just listened to the summary of what you were saying.
Okay. So my very first question is it necessary?
Yes.
Because before now, when you spoke with one of our correspondents, you were saying there's need for constitutional roles to more like be mapped out for a deputy governor.
Yes.
How necessary is that, really? Is it just because there is two fighting here and there, then we should now start doing what is not necessary? Or is it really necessary?
Okay, well, first, there is a constitutional provision for the office of the deputy governor as provided for in Section 186 of the 1999 Constitution as amended. It says that there shall, for each state, be a deputy governor. Now, Section 187. In every election, in any election, to which the foregoing provision of this part of the chapter relates, for a candidate for the office of governor, properly nominated, validly nominated,
hello, your line is breaking.
Oh my God. But can I you're using Airtel. Can I call you with my Airtel so that we can use Airtel to Airtel? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Yes. Did you hear what I said about 186 of the 1999 Constitution?
No, I did not.
Hello?
I did not hear what you said.
Hello?
Oh, he can't hear me now. All right, we're going to have to reconnect.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. All right, go on.
All right, I talked about Section 186 of the Constitution that provides for the office of the deputy governor in each state of the federation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about Section 187 sub 1 of the 1999 Constitution that states that for a person, that is for a person to be validly nominated as a governorship candidate running for any election, that person must also nominate another person as his associate or something to run for the office of the deputy governor. So what it means is that the Constitution provides for the office of the deputy governor.
Yeah, but then there's no specific assignment, right?
Fine, I'm going there.
Okay.
Where the problem comes is Section 193 of the 1999 Constitution. This is where the whole problem comes from. You know, this place is that the governor may, in his discretion, assign to the deputy governor or any commissioner of the state responsibility for any business or government. So you see that there is no specific responsibility assigned to the deputy governor. So that's why you hear people say that the deputy governors are spare tires. But with respect, I don't really think that they are. Because even the same constitution states that where the governor himself is unable to perform the functions of his office, either due to illness or one thing or the other, the deputy governor automatically steps in. Where the governor dies, while their tenure runs, the deputy governor automatically completes that tenure. So they run as a joint ticket. But I'm thinking that the reason why the framers, the persons who framed this constitution, did not specifically assign any role to deputy governor is because they probably do not want two captains in the same ship.
Mm-hmm.
But with the friction every day, you know, witnessed all over between governors and deputy governors. You know, this is where their principals are always suspicious, are always thinking that the deputy governors want to, you know, undermine their office, there now becomes a need to amend the constitution to provide for specific rules deputy governors, to provide functions for them, so that there will not be any conflict of interest. So that by the time they assume office, even though the constitution says that they run on a joint ticket, by the time they assume office, the deputy governor will simply know, this is my role. And if he exceeds beyond that, then he can run into trouble, anything can happen. But as it stands now, they are just they stand like a mere piece of decoration in government house. And that's why people, you know, use the term that the deputy governors are spare tires. But I'm of the view that since the constitution has been undergoing a process of amendment from time to time, that the constitution should be amended to give them, assign certain functions and responsibilities to them.
Okay. Hello? Yes, I heard you. So here's what I'm thinking, and I would like to also answer. If you're saying that giving the office of the deputy governor, you know, some specific assignments, it's going to end the kind of rifts that we've seen in some states. River State had such an issue some time ago. Now it's Edo and Ondo states. Don't you think that if that office has some specific roles assigned to whoever is going to be there, that it's also going to amount to two captains leading a ship? And this is what I mean.
If you heard me properly,
yeah.
I said the persons that frame the constitution probably left that sections of the constitution open ended because they do not want, you know, two captains in the same ship.
Yes, I heard you when you said that, and that's why I'm borrowing your phrase.
Yes, be that as it may. You do not, you find that in most states, most deputy governors are redundant and they are paid from taxpayers' money. Their offices is established by taxpayers' money and they are literally redundant. So I have the view, very strong view, that certain responsibilities should be assigned to them. The constitution should be amended to assign certain specific responsibilities to them.
Okay.
That will not necessarily kill the friction that may arise, especially when you have a deputy governor that is over ambitious, or now you have a principal, a governor that is overbearing. But I think that could reduce to a minimal extent the friction that arises most of the time between the deputy governors and their principal.
And you know that one of the things, it seems like for every deputy governor, there's this thing people always look out for. It has to be a quiet person, a calm person, because this person is not really expected to be like the head. You're just there. I don't think using the term spare tire is bad, because
I think you want to use the word your fabulous person, I guess that's what you want to say. But it doesn't necessarily have to be so. Going by the constitution, going by the provisions of the constitution section 187(1), the deputy governor and the governor are elected on the same ticket. Their tenure expires at the same time. They are elected to render service to the people of the state. Yeah, they are elected. They are so elected. And so you don't necessarily need a deputy governor who is subservient, who is docile, who will stay there like a statue. You should have deputy governors who have ideas to contribute.
All right, Dr. Allen, we'll be right back. Yes. We need to go on a commercial break.
Okay.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be back. right, great to have you right back here on the show. And I've been asking the same question, and I want to hear you answer me. Does the office of the deputy governor require specific roles? That's the question. Join us on Facebook, Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. And let's hear from you. You can also send a message via WhatsApp to 0809-030-6416. 0809-030-6416. All right, so this conversation is based on what we've seen happen, what is actually really still happening right now. It's not something that has happened in the past. It's happening currently. Edo State's Governor, Godwin Obaseki, and his deputy, Philip Shaibu, they have been going through this very, very bitter relationship. Yeah. And it's been progressing on the wrong foot, right? At some point, the deputy governor headed to court, you know, like trying to ensure that nobody is going to try to impeach him. But anyway, he withdrew that suit at some point. And right now, he's been removed from the government house. He has an office elsewhere in a GRA or something. I think the whole plan is that the governor is trying to just let him just stay on his own and understand that I'm the one in charge here. And then in Ondo State, the governor, Akeredolu Rotimi, is also having issues with his deputy, Lucky Ayedatiwa. And this whole thing started when the governor traveled abroad on medical issues, and now he's back, and then there are issues happening. And oh, by the way, the Mr. Lucky is not his first deputy. His first deputy was Agboola Ajayi, and the relationship wasn't good, and that guy had to leave, right? And now there's a new guy, yet it's not working. And so my guest, Dr. Wakama, is saying the Constitution should table out responsibilities for the deputy governor so that we wouldn't have this kind of issues playing out as much as it is, it has been playing out, whether it's in Ondo, in Edo, in Rivers, or elsewhere in the country. But then I still ask, is it necessary? Is it needful? Although my guest has said, well, it's not necessarily going to stop it, but it could be a starting point. Okay, so let's get back to it. Now, let's talk about, you know, some of the things they look out for when they are selecting a deputy or someone who is going to deputize the governor. All right, during the electioneering period, the political parties, they sit together and they decide how to come up with who is going to be their deputy. And there are things that they look out for, okay? Do you think that maybe, just maybe, the fact that the political parties are the ones who get to find are the ones who get to sit down and decide how they're going to select who a deputy will be, maybe they have to change it up. Should it also be a matter of the same way that we go to the polls, right, to choose? I'm looking at within the political parties, right? Do you think maybe they should also have something like that? People vie for that office and then they choose, or someone wins to become the deputy.
Okay, well, you see, political parties run for elections principally to win election.
Yeah.
And in doing that, they try to balance the equities. They try to lose some geographical balancing. Yeah. Like in River State, yeah, where you have a governor from the mainland, from the upland, you have a deputy from the riverine area. And I think the same principle applies to every other state.
Yes, yeah, the same thing.
Now, but if you look at the Constitution in itself, the Section 1, drawing your attention to, that places the prerogative on the candidate running to choose, even though in some instances it is the political parties that help them to choose their deputies. But looking at it from basically the constitutional perspective, the candidate the governorship candidate is given a freedom to choose a person. Here, in fact, the constitution uses the word associate. That is, it gives the candidate the opportunity to choose the person that will serve under him. But you see, talking about the current friction that are being witnessed in those states and on those states, these are matters for another day. By the time some persons would want persons to be perpetually under them, they do not broker any of their subordinates, nothing, or harboring any ambition at all. Like the case of the deputy governor of Edo State. The man wants to run for the office of the governorship in the next election. For crying out loud, why not allow him to go and deal with the trial? Now, from what we are reading, from the snippets we gather from the papers and all that, the governor of Edo State is apparently not disposed to the ambition of the deputy governor.
And that's for very clear reasons. The same way they select who is going to be governor and who's going to be deputy, based on maybe senatorial district and all that. So he feels that if he's from this area and he's going to serve for 8 years, he shouldn't be governor for the next 8 years. Someone else from another senatorial district should be governor.
Not really. If the governor, just like I cited the case of Rivers State, if the governor is from the mainland, the deputy governor automatically comes from the mainland area. So if the governor, exhausts his 8 year tenure, 2 terms, the deputy governor, if he's ambitious, if he's interested in running, should not be placed with obstacles in his way, just as it is as we're witnessing in Edo State. I think that is principally what is responsible for the problem we're having in Edo State. It's not about the failure of the constitution. It doesn't have anything to do with law.
Yeah, it's about
this
rotation
about
process.
A clash of egos. The governor doesn't want him to run, and the man wants to run. That is basically what is playing out there. And then in Ondo State, the governor was on a medical leave, on a medical vacation. He transmitted power to the deputy governor. And by the time the governor came back, I guess his associate, all these hangers on in the government house. They had one or two things to tell the governor. And so when the governor came, the governor initiated the process for impeachment. That is what is playing out there. But looking at it strictly from the constitutional perspective, the governor and the deputy governor are running on a joint ticket. Now, the governor reserves the sole right to nominate who runs with him. As the deputy governor, the constitution, gives him that right to do so. But however, in doing so, they will obviously want to choose a person who is subservient, a person who is docile, a person who does have no idea at all. And that will be to the detriment of the state.
When you put it that way, it sounds as though the deputy governors we have are not productive.
I had earlier stated in the course of this interview that if you go to most government houses in the 36 states of the Federation, the deputy governors are just mere decorative piece. So their office only come into play when it is time to receive a dignitary. They don't do any work, some of them, except in some cases where some governors are leaders. We give them opportunities to offer service to the state. But the truth of the matter is that these two persons, the governor and the deputy governor, are ordinarily elected to offer service to the state. They run on a joint ticket. If, for instance, in an election, we're going for an election, the governor is well qualified, and then in course of the election, it is discovered that the deputy governor's papers, certificates, or anything has some discrepancies. Certificate, the election arising from that this thing will be nullified, just as it happened in Bayelsa State recently, where APC won, but due to some discrepancy in the powers of either the deputy governor or something, that election was nullified. And PDP came second highest in Umar, assumed governorship of the state. So it is a joint type, it is a joint ticket.
Well, so there have been arguments that, you know, some of the or part of the reason why there are conflicts in many states or some states between the governors and their deputies, it could be from how the deputy governors are chosen. And you've also mentioned that sometimes they are chosen either from, you know, just to provide that balance in terms of their senatorial district, their tribe or their gender or maybe religion. Depending on the part of the country where they have to do that, or even their popularity, right?
Yes.
So at the end of the day, the person who is expected to deputize is expected to deputize. The job seemingly is, it's what Oga wants you to do that you will do. So if we are now saying deputy governors have ambitions and their boss, their principal, is not
disposed to that ambition,
yes, shouldn't you sit back, just take a step back and do the job you have been assigned to do and keep your ambition till next time?
I don't know if you got me right. I was examining the specific case of Edo State.
Yeah.
I was trying to analyze, you know, what is leading to the hullabaloo that we are experiencing in Edo State. The fiction that we're witnessing today is as a result of the ambition that the deputy governor of Edo State, Nothing, he wants to compare.
Yes, I heard you the first time. So that's why I'm just saying, because the office he occupies is deputy. How about you calm down and do the job you've been assigned to do, so that peace will reign?
Nothing and ambition does not stop the deputy governor from discharging his or her function.
No, but you know that. You know that in this case, right? I mean, I have been following, I've read a couple of articles on this. In this case, it's not just that he has an ambition, right? It's also, from what they've said so far, the way he's been behaving, the way he's been carrying out things or functions so far, they feel that, he's not behaving like a deputy. He's almost behaving like he is the governor. And some of the articles I've read, they're even blaming the governor for giving him too much power, more like he's been assigning him to do a lot even while he's there as the governor, and that has perhaps puffed the guy up. I don't know.
So do you ordinarily suppose that the deputy governor should be paid from the taxpayers' money? You know, they feed them. It is the taxpayer money that these people feed fat on. They feed them. They pay the schooling and boarding expenses for their children. They fuel their car. Do you believe that it's the proper thing for the state to be paying these people without doing anything?
They're not necessarily doing nothing. They are doing something. The governor cannot attend every function. I mean, governors are always invited to a lot of things, and they cannot be there. And so he has someone who stands in his stead to say, usually when we carry such stories, we'll say the governor represented by, right?
Yes.
So he has someone who is standing in for him. Or would you suggest that we scrap the office of the deputy governor? I mean, since we have commissioners in the same state.
That's not what I'm suggesting.
All right.
I'm rather of the view, and a very strong one, that the persons that crafted this section of the Constitution, the mischief they are trying to cure for not assigning any role to the deputy governors, is that they try to avoid friction to have two captains in one ship. But be that as it may, there is still a need to assign specific roles, something like the vice president is by the provisions of the Constitution, the chairman of the National Economic Council, a body made up of the state governors, CBN, past presidents, and all that. That is the rule. That's the constitutional rule. I'm saying that the Constitution should be amended to at least assign certain rules, certain responsibilities to the deputy governors to keep them busy. In some states, like I had been saying, you know, that in some states, the deputy governor just go to the office every morning, go back home. At the end of the day, they collect their salaries and avoid. They do practically nothing. So in such a scenario, who is losing? This is not the state, the people of the state. So but if...
So how about the bulk, how about the other civil servants who basically go to work doing nothing at the end of the month, they receive salaries, and when they are old, we don't get to rest because they are old for work they did not even do.
That is a matter for another day. My brief here is to discuss the office of the deputy governor. Maybe another day if we want to talk about why the civil service is not productive, we can now look at it, examine that critically. But my brief here principally is to discuss the office of the deputy governor, why we are witnessing frictions and tensions everywhere.
Okay, well, let's get to the phone lines. I'm sure people are itching to join the conversation. But just to remind you of something that's happened over the years, there have been a lot of either impeachment or resignations of deputy governors, and that's since Nigeria chose the path of democracy since 1999. When our president was governor of Lagos State, two of his deputies were forced out of office. When Governor Umar Yar'Adua was the governor of Katsina State, two of his deputies also went off. In Zamfara State, the deputy governor of the state also had to give way because he refused to follow the decision of the governor, Bello Matawalle, to defect to another party. In Imo State, the former governor there, Rochas Okorocha, had issues with two of his deputies, all right, and so many others. Even in Ondo State currently, Akeredolu, the first person has left, and now he has a second person, and they're having issues. So in River State, at some point, the former governor, Amechi, had issues with Tele Ikuru and all that.
Dr. Frank Keke fell out with Okilo, the late Okilo. So there were also such cases in River State. One Amechi Suju, he also had disagreement with his deputy, though he did not resolve the impeachment. You know, but there was a relationship of peace with tension between Tele Ikuru, his deputy governor then.
Peace with tension.
Peace with tension, yes.
I like that phrase. All right, let's hear from you. My question is, should the office of the deputy governor have, does it require specific roles? Does that office require specific roles? The numbers to call are 0817-923-0002 or 0817-923-0007 0817-923-0007. You can as well send a message via WhatsApp to 0809-030-6416. And for what? Sorry, not WhatsApp. You can get on Facebook. We're live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. I'm seeing this one here from Olongwe Prince Osaro on Facebook. He screams, capital no. As the dictionary defines it, it's just to deputize in the absence of the superior, who is the governor. All right. Iron Braid is calling from Transamadi. Welcome on board.
Yes. Good evening once again.
Good evening.
And also, good evening to our resource person online. Yes, for me, the deputy governor has to be given some responsibility. The Constitution did not spell out their responsibility. That is why the government needs them as a caretaker. And that is not good for our democracy. They run as one ticket. Whichever poster you see the governor, you will see the deputy governor. So for me, the Constitution should spell out some roles, executive roles, for the deputy governors, so that the governors will not see them as second-class citizens anymore.
Okay.
The governors cannot breathe. There is no way. They don't allow them to breathe.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Anonymous on WhatsApp says, hello, Constance. The role of the deputy governor is already constitutional, and adding more roles would not be enough to prevent such political disagreements. Even if we assign all the ministries to the deputy, it cannot still stop the governor from manipulating the political actors, example state assembly, from going ahead with such impeachment moves. After all, the commissioners have roles, but they can be sacked any time the governor chooses. Even the AG or AGF that the constitution recognizes are sacked at will. What we actually need is to constitutionally reduce the powers of the executive, that is the president and governors. Interesting. We have, okay, Emeka, you can call back. Thank you. I'm seeing a long message. Emi Fiaraga, you have come again. He says, greetings, Constance. By the creation of the office of the deputy governor, in the eyes of our grand norm as altered, the deputy governor is like a fifth tire in a four-wheel car. Until one of the functional tires has issues, the fifth tire will remain unused. Although the grand norm made the governor and his deputy a joint ticket during election, but the law made the deputy governor relevant only when the governor is incapacitated or unavoidably absent. The way forward, looking at the political eyesore in Edo and Ondo states, the constitution should be altered to project the deputy governor and also accommodate specific roles of the office of the deputy governor. If not so, the current framework in the 1999 constitution as amended merely mentioned the deputy governor, but the occupant of that office is nothing less than a messenger that a commissioner can be, even more relevant and powerful than the deputy governor, if the governor so desires. All right, Chris is calling from Rumogba Estate. Hi, Chris.
Yeah, good evening, Constance.
Good evening, Mr. Chris.
Any additional power you're giving to the deputy will amount to handing over the chief of state to two captains. And you know what happens when there are two captains in the chief? It will definitely not get to his destination. So the constitution should rather try to provide some incentives to ensure that the governor does not unnecessarily unleash, come over there on his deputy. But whether you like it or not, there has to be harmony in any system, whether it is the state, federal, even in companies and organizations and in the family. A deputy should maintain their position as deputies. The only power they have is the one that the governor has conferred on them. Any other responsibility amounts to creating chaos and trouble. You can see what is happening when they don't even have the power. You can imagine what will happen if you now create another power or another constitutional authority for them. Then you have put crisis everywhere.
All right.
So I suggest that the constitution should maintain the status quo and only ensure that the governor does not get overbearing.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Hello, Real Gift.
Thank you very much, my lady. Good evening to you.
Good evening.
Good evening to our resource person also. My lady, just reject the constitution to say if the governor decide to institute impeachment procedure against the deputies, they lose office together. After they campaign together, is it not? Of course, because if, like in the case of Bayelsa State, the governor-elect lost his office on account of whatever, the discrepancies about his deputy, they told us they ran on his joint ticket, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
So how come after that running on joint ticket, when it comes to the issue of to chop the spoils of governance, then the governor decides what the deputy will do and what not to do? So for me, the only way, because that's like one of the messages, even if you add additional rules to the deputy, if the governor will manipulate the message to Ingo Situa, bottom line, reject the constitution. If it goes, the governor will join and go. And I see whether, as they say, only those who walk during the night understand the orders of the spirit, whether they don't go work together in their tenure complete, rather than telling me that this one no good for sure, man. At the end of the day, the same thing happens to the new one. Meanwhile, right. they campaign together. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Walu is calling from Port Harcourt. Good evening, Walu.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I just need to say that this matter is not about constitution.
Okay. What is it about?
The sense of responsibility that people who are office have. Now, if you look at other countries, for example, today, you see that the amount of work to be done to pull Nigerians out of poverty, to ensure security, to provide education, quality education, health care, and so on and so forth, is so enormous that you need all hands to be on deck. Now, if you have a governor and deputy, you'll expect that the governor should work closely with the deputy, delegating duties to him or her.
All right. Walu, thank you very much. We have to go on a commercial break. We'll be right back. Okay, so at this point, we will just be wrapping up because we have just less than 1 minute for this. Thank you very much, Dr. Allen Wokama. Thank you for being on the show this evening. Wokama.
Yes, Wokama. Allen Wokama.
Wokama. All right. Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
All right.